This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
I'm delighted to be joined by poet, author, Movember ambassador, Mr. Darragh Fleming, joining me today to talk about the topic close to our hearts, men's mental health. Welcome back to iRadio's group chat. Darragh, how's things?
Thank you very much, Connor. Yeah, things are good. I was only on, as I was saying, maybe 2 weeks ago, so it's good to be back.
You're back again. You'll be full-time here by Christmas, I promise. come here, for anyone who hasn't come across your work yet on social media or wherever it is, give us a little quick intro, like basically like your Instagram bio of who you are and what you do.
Oh, such a tough question. I suppose I'm a writer first and foremost, spoken word performer, mental health advocate, and now also a musician, working with Throwing Snow or putting out music. But all my work, be it writing, creating content, has everything to do with mental health and promoting healthy relationships with our mental health, healthy relationships with ourselves, and just trying to get people to normalize chatting about their emotions and making that a normal part of their life. And that obviously then brings us into Movember and men, because men are historically quite poor at actually expressing their emotions and even addressing their emotions internally. So it's all that type of work to get like men to, and really what we're trying to do is get men to interact with their femininity.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men have been socialized for decades to fear femininity and think having a feminine side means you're not as manly, but yeah, every person who's ever lived has some masculine parts and some feminine parts, and it's about embracing both to become a healthy and well-rounded individual.
I feel like we are susceptible to the toxic masculinity. Like, there's a reason why things say heavy duty and all this kind of stuff, because it makes us feel more of a man. But I 100% agree. Like, people have kind of shut away what they think might be a bit of a weakness. It might look like they are maybe not an ideal partner for the opposite sex, or their friend group or their social circles, their little village that they live in. They might like to see themselves a bit weak because they're not embracing a part of them that's there. It's in all of us, let's be honest. You've spoken very, very openly on TikTok, because I've seen you before, about your own mental health journey. When did you realise for yourself that you needed to maybe talk, let it out, or look, kind of embrace the feelings that you were having?
It was probably, like, I'm 30 now, so it was around when I was 21. Up until I was about 17, I kind of had this, like, I lived in a bubble of, like, you know, there wasn't much. It was very unnotable in terms of a childhood. Like, there was nothing ever, like, too serious happened. I wasn't ever really struggling with mental health, which I'm very grateful for. But then my best friend took his own life when I was 17 and he was 18. He was just about to do the leave insert. He was about 6 months away from doing it. And he took his own life. And, like, I was his closest friend, and I had no idea he was struggling. Yeah. Like, I thought he was fine. Whenever we were together, he was, like, the same as he'd always been, happy, funny, you know, chatting about the things we always chatted about. And behind closed doors, he was struggling massively, obviously, because he took his own life. And that really shook me, because I was like, well, if Irby was struggling that much, and I didn't know, like, how many people are struggling, and I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
And then, because that was so traumatic, I ended up getting very depressed myself for a long time. And it probably went on longer than it should have, because, one, I didn't really know I had depression because I didn't have an understanding of what that was. It was a lack of education. But when I did find out, I self-stigmatized and told myself that there was something wrong with me if I had this mental illness, that people would look at me differently. They'd treat, like, my family would see it as a weakness and that I'd failed. So it was all this, like, really negative ideas of what, like, struggling with your mental health meant. And it went on for another year and a half before things got so bad that I was like, it's either get help or maybe not be here in a few months.
Yeah.
And luckily I was studying applied psychology at the time. So I had a lot of friends around me who had been to counseling and were currently in counseling. So getting signed up was actually fairly straightforward in the end. But it was just, I think what's kind of interesting about that is, even when I knew I had depression, like, I learned about depression in college and was like, oh, I think I have this. Like, I still denied myself help because I thought I was weak for having it, which is, I think, a massive problem men face in particular.
I 100% agree. I kind of went through something kind of similar enough. I've lost a couple of friends over the years, and, like, I'm only 30 as well. So, like, it hits you quite hard. And then because they come from male friend groups or whatever it is, you feel like you say, you're trying to push it away, and then you end up feeling like there's something wrong with me, I've got a mental illness, there's it's just the negative self-talk starts to come in. And like, I'm like, I will tell anybody, like, I think therapy is great. I'm trying to convince one of my friends at the minute to go to therapy to sort out losses he's had. I think we all need to embrace it a little bit more, and that's just a fact. And I feel like when we don't know what's going on in someone else's life, like, you know, you've seen the Norwich Football Club. Remember the ad that they put out?
Yeah, brilliant. So
anybody who's listened to this, if you haven't seen it, look up the ad for Norwich Football Club. It's two friends going to watch the game every single week. One fella on the outside looks like he's having an awful time, and the other person is excited. He's jumping around, he's grabbing him, and then one day the guy who's excited and jumping around is no longer there. So it does hit, but it's just so true of like the male kind of thinking about things. So moving on to why we're here, we want to talk to you about Movember. You are an ambassador. How did that come about, and what's kind of the message about it, and why we should all be jumping on Movember and getting ourselves little stashes?
Yeah, well, one, I mean, the stash is just a fantastic look, so why wouldn't you? But how I got started actually was 3 years ago. For their launch, Movember got on to me and they asked if I'd write a spoken word piece for the launch of Movember, which I was delighted to do because, like, as I said, all my work is about mental health, so it wasn't really like I had to reinvent the wheel, and I was like, I want to do this. And then since then, I've just been working with them on various things. This year, we've put together a anthology of poetry by men and women. Some of them are established poets, some of them have never written a poem in their life, and it's a little book you can buy as a fundraiser for Movember. And it's just all these people exploring emotion and masculinity and using creativity to like delve into their mental health in a healthy way, which is something I've really found beneficial for my own mental health. But beyond mental health, like, the reason I got involved with Movember first and foremost was because of the mental health aspect. Yeah. But Movember cover a lot more than that. Like, they do a lot of work around prostate cancer, testicular cancer. They fund a lot of research into different areas of health that affect men more so than other demographics. So they're doing incredible work for men's health across mental and physical. And I think for me, It's interesting because, like, I would have had a lot of information on the mental health stuff, but not a lot of information on the other stuff, the like prostate and testicular cancer, and just the amount of men these things affect that we don't know about. And it's kind of similar to mental health in that, like, until it kind of comes knocking on your door, you mightn't realize how many doors it's knocking on.
So true.
And so just for that alone, like, the work they're doing across the board for men's health is massively important, and that's why the funds are so necessary.
Yeah,
because it really is like saving lives.
I will say though, of all the years that it's fashionable to grow a mustache, it's definitely 2025. Like,
oh yeah, like, I mean, I have a mustache now, and I've just been rocking a mustache all year. Whereas in years past, I'm like, oh my god, I have to grow a mustache, and I can barely grow one as it is. Like, so yeah, we're definitely in the era of the mustache. It'll probably be gone again in a few years, but we'll make hay while the sun's shining.
I feel like, yeah, if anybody has a mullet, should automatically sign up for Movember because it's the parent of 2025.
Oh, big time.
But if some young males or even females are listening to this, want to get involved and obviously don't want to grow a stash or whatever it might be, what's a simple thing that they could do to kind of support Movember or mental health, like, in general in the month of November?
I think, like, if you're not going to be setting up a fundraiser, you can obviously donate to someone's fundraiser and, like, do it that way. But I think one thing we can all do that isn't, like, a financial strain is start a conversation with one of your pals about mental health. Like, have that, like, simple. And, like, the thing is, and this is something I've been banging on about for years and years, conversations about mental health aren't always really heavy.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there are times when, like, something serious might be going on and you'll have to have a serious chat. But other times it can be like just normalizing the fact that you're feeling anxious, you're feeling stressed, you're feeling sad, you're feeling rejected. And like allowing yourself to feel those things and vocalize them is the way we process them.
Yeah.
So if you actually admit to yourself, like, oh, I'm actually feeling like a bit disappointed and rejected because I didn't get that job, and I'm stressed because, you know, financial stuff. If you actually talk about that, you'll feel a little bit better. So start a conversation. I think what you could do, it's a 30-day month. You could set yourself a challenge of like, for each day of this month, I'm going to have a conversation a day about mental health in whatever capacity it comes in. And it could be a 30-second conversation. It could be a 3-hour conversation. Yeah. Depends on how things go.
Like, and people, I think there is a bit of a, like, we don't want to think there's a stigma to it, right? But when people hear, oh, well, I want to just talk to you about my mental health, maybe I'm not feeling great, everybody automatically expects, like, oh, crap, like, what's coming here? It doesn't have to be mad deep. It can be just like, you know what, this week I'm feeling a bit low. I was talking to someone at the weekend and I thought we were going to go on a date. It didn't happen. And then I'm feeling a bit like rejected. It can be something as simple as that. I think communication is where this lives and can help promote mental health in not just men, but in women as well. From your own experience, Sarah, what's your advice to someone who wants to check in on someone but doesn't know, I know, how do you approach things, or maybe you're afraid of saying it because maybe you might say the wrong thing. Like, what do you think? Like, I know there's not one answer for this, but what do you think is the best way? Let's say if someone just wants to check in, one of the lads, one of the women, without being like direct and in the face, being like, oh, geez, what's wrong with you? Like, you know?
No, it's a good question. I think it is a conversation that a lot of us fear, because especially when we're unsure of how the conversation is going to go, I think we have this expectation of ourselves that we need to have a solution for this problem. Like, if I do ask you, you know, how are you getting on, and then, because usually you kind of to start this conversation anyway, usually you kind of have to ask twice. So yeah, how's everything going? And like, if you're talking to someone who lives and is from Ireland, they're going to say, "Our grand, yeah, all good," and yeah, then typical. You're going to be like, "No, but seriously, like, how are you feeling? Like, how have things been?" And that usually sets the tone of like, "Oh, we're actually going to talk about stuff." And what I always tell people is that, like, you don't have to have answers. You're just a normal person. You're not a therapist. You're not a doctor. So you're not expected to have answers to someone's problems, especially around mental health. So if someone opens up to you, like, the first thing I always do is I say, thank you for telling me that. That must have been really hard to share. So I just want to say thanks for being able to do that. And then what I follow that up with is there anything I can do now that might help?
Yeah.
And that might be, and usually, like, the person will, they might not have the answer straight away, but the person telling you will usually know what they need.
Yeah.
So it might be like, oh, can we go for a walk? Can you make me a cup of tea? Can you ring my mother? Can you ring my GP for me? Because I don't have the capacity to do it right now. So they'll usually tell you what they need from you, rather than you having to be like, oh, we need to do this, and we need to sign up for this, and we need to get you here. Like, they'll usually tell you what they need. And I think that, when people realize that, it kind of takes the pressure off the conversation, because all they're really looking for, all I've ever really looked for when I've talked to people about mental health, is for someone to hear me.
Yeah.
To actually hear that, like, look, I'm not feeling great right now. I'm feeling like very anxious and a little bit sad. Could we like just go for a walk and get away? Maybe I'm at a party or at an event. I'm like, can we actually just get out of here and have a chat?
Yeah.
And away you go. Like, it doesn't always have to be this pressurized thing where like, oh my God, what am I going to do if someone tells me this? Because I don't have the answers. You're not meant to have the answers.
Yeah, fact. Yeah, you're not meant to have the answers. That's so true. And I think I've been in the situation where I've been the friend who's asked the questions, and I know some people mightn't be confident in receiving the information from someone because they feel like that. Like, I can't give you an answer. I can't tell you go and take a Panadol because that's going to get rid of your headache. I can just try and point you in a direction that I think will be helpful for you. And that's all you can do. Like, it comes down to having the communication, making people feel comfortable, and like, not be like, oh, well, you need to do this. No, there's not one size fits all for mental health at all. Dara, if people want to find out a little bit more about you and what you do and your work, where can they find all that?
So I'm at Dara Fleming on all platforms. I was lucky enough to get that quite simple handle. And then my website, which is a mental health blog where I talk weekly about anything I've felt or like dealt with during the week about mental health, is thoughtstoobig.ie. So they're kind of the main places you can find me. And then obviously Movember and Movember Ireland is where you can find out more about Movember.
Deadly. Dara, an absolute pleasure to speak to you this evening on the group chat. Gormila Mahagat, and thank you very, very much, and best of luck with the tash.
Thank you very much, Connor. Appreciate it.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.